Hello, everybody. Welcome back to the Dragon's Library. So, from the sound of my voice right now and the title of this video, you can probably tell that I have not yet finished Elden Ring. And, yeah, I haven't finished Elden Ring. That's really all there is to it. I'm hoping to review it on Thursday, because this time in the stream, if you go there, if you check it out, I was having a lot of trouble with one boss, but then I came back after dinner and decided to give it one last attempt before bed. And, I just completely owned it, using an upgraded sword of Flaming Knight. So, the entire world has turned to ash, a lot like in Dark Souls 3's DLC, so I'm guessing that the end game, I'm in the final level. Hopefully. I'm not sure I can deal with another extension at this point. But, as a positive thing, though, since I didn't finish Elden Ring, we get to talk about Turning Red. And you know what? I had a lot of fun with this movie. Pixar always makes me smile. But, yeah. So, for those of you who don't know, this is a movie about a, like, tween teen girl who ends up turning into a red panda when she gets stressed due to a family curse. And then it's, you know, growing of age story as a result of this as a metaphor for puberty. So, you know, it's definitely not aimed at me demographic-wise, but I did really enjoy it. I think the jokes are pretty funny. It lands really well. I think kids will probably really enjoy it. Oddly enough, it's also set in the 2000s, set in 2002. So there was, like, a lot of nostalgia bait if you've grown up during that era. I'll probably get more into that in the spoiler section. But yeah, it's all very fun. The main character, Mei Lin Lee is a Chinese-Canadian, so it's not even taking place in the U.S., which is actually really refreshing change of pace. Like, I didn't expect that to be such a refreshing change of pace for me, but it really was. It was just like, wow, a movie not set in the U.S.? How exciting. I know, it's Canada. It's like, you know, most people who live in Canada live within 100 miles of the U.S., but still. It was still nice. It was still a nice, refreshing change of pace. So, all in all, Mei is just, like, really, you know, outgoing, try-hard. I'm, you know, the straight-age student who also has all the curricular activities because I have a really strict mom who makes me do it all. She has an interesting group of friends who act more as, like, a single unit than they do as individuals. The main, like, main friend who is sort of, like, I guess the closest analogy would be Scott for, what's his name? Snot. Snot from American Dad. She's, like, a female version of him. And then you have this other girl who's, like, you know, the nerdy girl who's kind of quiet and always is just, like, kind of moving around in the background. And, you know, has a very deadpan, you know, she's been taking care of it the whole time. It's like, no, I haven't. So, yes, she has. And then you have the other one who's just kind of, like, really weird. Like, just, like, the weird one who's always shouting. Didn't really like her that much. And, yeah, the whole group. But their dynamic is really nice. It's all, you know, very cheerful, very upbeat. Mei has a very controlling father. Her dad is hilarious. Basically, every scene he's in is fun. You get a brief look at, like, some of the other people in her community and then others. Like, a few, her aunts and her grandmother, who has a strained relationship with her own mother. All related to the whole, you know, turning into a panda curse. Which is, again, a heavy metaphor for puberty. They're not shy about shouting that out loud. In fact, there are, like, two period jokes in this kids movie, which is actually really interesting. It's nice to see movies, like, treating kids with a certain level of maturity and not being so, like, abhorrent about this stuff. Like, most, like, apparently there's been some minor backlash from some parents who are like, how dare you mention this stuff in a kids Pixar movie? And it's just like, oh, get a hold of yourself, you nannies. It's just like, people, get over yourselves. Your kids have seen way worse on the internet already. I guarantee they have seen worse on the internet by that age. Guarantee it. 100% absolutely guarantee it. It's always adorable when parents are like, my little child will never do that. And actually, funny enough, that actually marches into the themes of this movie. See, Mei's mom had a really strict upbringing due to the whole panda thing. And she had this big, she lost control of her powers when she was young before they sealed them away for her. Ended up injuring her mother. Her mother has, like, a scar in her eye. It's heavily implied something really bad happened. And so she has basically tried to raise May to be a better version of her, like the perfect little kid, you know, all straight A's every day. She's so organized that when she erases stuff, she uses a ruler to scrape the eraser shavings into her trash can so they don't get all over her desk. Like, the completely organized person. Like, so organized, it's, like, unrealistic almost. And her friends are always asking her to, like, go out and do stuff, but she's like, sorry, I gotta go, I hope I was cleaning today. It's like, it's always cleaning day. Your mom has you, like, so brainwashed. She's like, no, she doesn't. It's like, it's fine, I enjoy it. And, you know, eventually she runs into something she actually wants to do. She starts, like, you know, developing crushes, and her mom, like, freaks out over it and completely embarrasses her in front of everyone. And, of course, the night after that happens, well, the panda erupts. And they have a lot of fun jokes with that, with the mom not understanding what's going on at first. And then once she sees in school, because she followed her daughter there to stalk her to school because she's worried about her because of the period joke from earlier. And after completely embarrassing her, May losing control of the panda again, she managed to realize that if she stayed really, really calm, it would, like, she would turn someone back. But she loses control, ends up running away back home. And the mom's like, oh, so this is what's happening. It's not the other thing. Got it. Well, this is still really early. So our ancestor prayed to the gods back in the day, and they gave her the ability to turn into a red panda in order to protect herself while her husband and all the men were out of war. And she passed it down to her kids. But after a few years, we moved in modern times, and it turned from a blessing to sort of an inconvenience. And May's just like, it's a curse. She fucking cursed us. It's like, not really. I mean, like, once you get control over it, it seems like you have, like, a lot more control over it. It's fine. And it definitely seems to bring out some more instinctual desires. Like, May's usually a lot more, like, you know, together. She usually hides stuff, like, crushes some other people. But then you have this one scene where she's just, like, sees one of her, like, older kid crushes in the window of a convenience store. And she starts, like, going, ah, ooh. And it's like, okay, so it lets out some of your more repressed desires, you know? And that's why they're all, like, freaking out by it, because apparently it also one of the other things is it can focus, like, rage and anger. So she ends up manifesting it in school once or twice and exposing herself to a handful of students by throwing a dodgeball because the bully is still mocking over the thing her mom did the night before all this went down. And she's also still really, really stressed about all this. This is all like a side plot to interference of girl wants to go to a concert with her friends. Her mom won't let her. They try and raise the money anyway, but big event comes up that night. Shenanigans ensue. And it really comes down to basically what happens when you have parents that raise their kids very strictly. It's not just the effect on that kid, but the effect of when they raise their own kids. So it's implied that Maylin's mom was raised very strictly as well. And she had a horrible problem with her mother when she lost control of the panda. So now she's, like, super afraid of it. And so now she's even harsher with May. So her mom being really strict led to her being even stricter. It makes sense. These problems compound over time. The issues don't really go away. They just build on each other. And in the end, her mom realizes that she can still look out for what's best for her daughter. But she has to, you know, let her make her own choices and fail. She can't just decide everything for her. Fortunately, the dad is always there. And I'm sorry, the whole Disney dad, the oblivious Disney dad, or the oblivious Pixar dad being just, like, the show stealer is hilarious. When we first meet him, he's, like, doing, like, this Master Chef level stuff where he's, like, perfectly chopping everything. And then he looks up and you expect him to be, like, you know, everyone else, like, super focused. He's just, like, this dopey expression. And his glasses are all fogged up and he has to, like, take him down. Like, oh my god, I gotta push him away. It's like, oh wow, I can really see why May's mom fell in love with him. But he's just a little dopey. And he's always, like, the one who seems to know the best thing that's going on. So, like, May does this one thing. All right, I'll get into that later. But I really liked him. The whole thing is pretty cool. The animation is fantastic. Big surprise there, you know. It's a Pixar movie. The animation is good. The sky reflects during the midday, blue light is the sky appears blue due to the light refraction through the atmosphere. Basic fact. I mean, I've yet to see a Pixar movie where the animation wasn't good. Even Cars 2 had decent animation. Like, they always nail that out of the park. But, no, it is really nice. I really like the art style. It has sort of a, God, what was that movie? God, I'm always forgetting. What was that? Oh, Mitchell vs. Machines. It has that very, like, a few times it has, like, that kind of, like, pop art kind of style to it. That's really interesting. But it mostly settles for a pretty standard animation style. And I liked it. I will admit, the actual animation itself has some stills that don't look great. Like, some people have, like, taken, like, stills from this, and it's like, yeah, but, like, if you look at the animation as a whole, it looks fine. It's just individual moments can look a little odd, but when it's flowing together, it looks fine. As for the music, it's good. It's good. They have, like, a little boy band thing, and, you know, it's catchy. It's, like, that whole early 2000s boy band pop music you've heard, like, 1,000 times on the radio, if you remember listening to the radio as a kid. Oh my god, I feel old. Oh, I remember when radio was a thing. Anyway. My growing realization that I am growing old aside. All in all, I give this a solid 9 out of 10, 8 out of 10. No, let's just go to an 8.5. It's not like groundbreaking or anything, but everything Pixar does is at least worth an 8. Except for Cars and Cars 2. Cars is worth a 7. Cars 2 is worth a 3 in my book. So, you know, pretty much everything Pixar does is good, though. So, I'm about to get into the spoiler section. If you don't want to hear spoilers, go ahead and tune out now. And actually, I'm not really sure I care if there was much spoil about this. There's only really one minor plot twist, and it's kind of like a joke plot twist, so do with that as you will. Alright, so this movie is pretty consistently funny. Most of the jokes make me laugh. Most of the stuff with the dad is great. The mom being always overdramatic kind of nails that perfect cringe humor. I've never really liked cringe humor that much. I will say this is probably the only time I've actually found cringe humor funny. Which, again, take that as you will. It's mostly I can relate to some of the stuff growing up as a kid. But there was one scene in particular that I found funny, because it's something I actually did as a kid. So when May wants to convince her parent that she should be able to go to this boy band concert in Toronto, she's like, the ticket's $200. I've been really good. I've literally gotten straight A's my entire life. I've never asked for anything. This is like the one thing I want. Here's a presentation of exactly why I think I should be able to do this. Here's a presentation of all things that we want to do for it. And she basically lays out, like, a presentation for that. And I remember when I was really young, me and my brother made a PowerPoint presentation over why we should be able to buy a PS3. My mom said no, and we were salty about it for so long. I'm still a little salty about it to this day. So when that scene came up, I just could not help but, like, get flashbacks to that moment. I will admit, May's presentation is far better than the dinky little thing we made. I'm glad that thing is erased from history. But, like, for you know, it makes it all the more gut punch when her mom is like, who do they think they are? It's like, what are these boys? They're like, what? This is all, ugh. She's like, you know, very traditional. She's like, what are they wearing? You know, cringe humor that way. And she's like, are they Celine Dion? I don't think they're Celine Dion. Maybe they're Celine Dion tickets. It's like, who do they think they are? And meanwhile, the dad's like, maybe we should. And just one other thing. Why does she want to go there so bad? What's the point of all of this? It's like, but honey, and the dad's just straight like, actually, I think this could be good for me. She hasn't really done anything, and she's, you know, she has been like the perfect girl for her whole life. Let's let her have one night of fun with her friends. You know, of course, he gets completely blown out of the water by her mom, who just takes over the conversation. Although I love the way it ends, because May storms out and she's like, how dare she treat me that way? And then and then immediately the phone rings and the dad picks it up and it's like, honey, it's your mom. It's like, I'm not here. She really starts, she actually says, I'm not here, and hides under the couch cushions like a little child. And the dad's just like, here you go, honey. You can't avoid it. There's a news footage of a giant red panda in town. You knew she was going to call. She's like, I don't think you can handle this on your own. So I'm bringing your sisters, and we're all going to work on this together. It's like, oh, no, it's fine. Like, nope, you clearly need the help. It's like, mom, it's cool. It's like, oh, wow, this is the same dynamic she had with her mom, and she's wondering why May's upset. Go figure. But yeah, all in all, this is a very fun movie. May is a great protagonist, actually. I wasn't entirely sold on her at the very beginning, because a lot of the trailers just make her seem kind of obnoxious. And the first few scenes made me go, maybe I'm not going to be into this. But I gotta admit, once I got into the story and you started seeing how much she puts into everything she does, and then when she, like, finally realizes that even, like, she's been okay with doing all this stuff for years, but when she finally decides, I want to do something else in my life, you know, I want to embrace this power that we have, that we've had for generations, when she wants to start going to parties and enjoying herself, and her mom says no after, you know, all the years of her doing basically everything her mom wanted, she kind of just is like, what the hell? I've done everything you asked. Why am I not allowed to do some things I'd like to do? And she sees the panda as sort of like a free expression of freedom. In fact, her friends, a few other students discover it after the whole dodgeball incident with one of the bullies, Tyler. And she ends up spreading the idea that she can turn into the red panda around school and selling them like photo ops with her and like red panda merchandise that her and her friends make, that, you know, take the money, buy some shirts and stuff like that. And they make a bunch of red panda stuff. And that's how they raise the money for the tickets. And I'm like, okay, that's really smart. And as she does that, she has a lot of fun doing the stuff with her friends, you know, making all the shirts, setting up these photo ops and everything. And the whole time her mom thinks this is like an extracurricular mathletes activity. But May has like a lot of fun. They even like record like a little music video thing with them setting it all up. And near the end of the plot, when May is like the all is lost moment after her mom has like said, it's all your fault that she got into all this trouble. And, takes her away, and, you know, May does a protest because she wants her mom's approval still. And her friends, you know, feel betrayed, obviously. Her dad shows her the video, is like, look, you don't have to be like your mom if you don't want to. You can make your own choices. And May, I really like what you did here. It's really nice. I think you and your friends had a lot of fun. And I think I don't see you like this. I'd like you to be more like the May I see here. Don't be afraid to show who you are just because you're afraid other people are going to reject you for it. Which I think is, you know, obviously a good message for a kids movie. Great message, actually. I wholeheartedly approve of that message, as anyone who knows me would undoubtedly realize. But, at the end, May ends up rejecting the ritual to seal away the panda and decides to keep it. And her whole family is just like, no, you got to seal it. Everybody sealed it. And she runs away. She goes to join her friends at the concert, using her powers. They actually have a really cool power that made me think this would probably make a pretty cool video game. So whenever she transforms, it's this big explosion of smoke, and she ends up using it to, like, get extra jump distance. So she basically turns her power into a double jump, which is, like, the most video game thing I've ever seen in a normal movie. Like, seriously, when you see this, you're thinking, wow, this is like an ad for a platformer. Like, seriously, if somebody told me this was based on an obscure platforming game just because of this one scene, I would actually probably believe them based on how loose video game adaptations often are. Anyway, her mom's talisman, where her panda spirit is sealed inside of, is cracked when May runs away, and she gets all pissed that how dare she run off to go to some stupid concert instead of doing something that's going to help her, you know, gain control of the panda for the rest of her life and not to deal with this shit. So she gets really pissed and essentially turns into Red Panda Godzilla. I'm not even joking. It's like, there's this offhand joke of like, how is she that big? It's like, well, I told you she was big, but not that big. It is dumb just how different, like, in size. And it's all very, very cheeky, very fun. They have this big old argument with, Raylan, how dare you? It's all lots of fun. One of the things I really liked about these, the sealing away scenes, though, is, so when Maylin first goes to, like, this weird spirit world in order to seal away the panda, you see her ancestor opening up, like, this mirror, and she's just kind of there. She's like, has this, like, disappointed frown on her face, almost. It's like, yeah, I know, you want to get rid of my gift, too, don't you? Seal it away, it's alright, I'm not upset, I'm just disappointed. But when Maylin goes back there and everyone else walks through to reseal their pandas, because they had to let them loose in order to stop the mom. There was also this really cool, like, superhero-style transformation scene with all the ants, which is kind of funny. And they all head back, because that's how they live. That's how they've always lived. They didn't learn to control when they were kids. This is how they were most comfortable living. That's fine. This is a choice they've made. They're not so much against the choice the parents made, you know, choosing to seal the panda away, as much as the fact they didn't really give May that choice. And afterwards, May decides to keep her panda. So she stays on the side of the door and wakes up normally. And when she's looking back up at her ancestor and laying the panda out, her ancestor just kind of smiles at her, like, ah, finally, someone. And you get the sense that the ancestor's spirit has been in this world watching over her ancestors and watching as they slowly over the years basically abandoned her gift to them. Even as they honored her in like these shrines, they slowly forgot why she did all this and threw away her gift and asked her to basically help them seal it away every time. And you get the feeling that she kind of felt a little insulted by it. It's like, none of you even want to try getting along with your panda spirit. You just want to seal it away and repress all that anger and frustration of those years. And yeah, that's what most of them want to do. So yeah, as you can imagine, this is like a really good film. Has a lot of good stuff. Definitely for a different audience than me, although I could still enjoy it as a fun comedy, coming-of-age film. I really like most of the characters, and most studios don't get that with me. I will often hate a lot of the characters in a lot of other animated films. Even if I like it, I'll, dislike a lot of characters. Like, fun fact, I'm not a fan of Zenitsu from Demon Slayer. I just think he's really annoying. I think he needs to be knocked out more often, because sleeping Zenitsu is way better. But I didn't really have that problem here. Like, aside from the weird, girl who's just constantly shouting, and she's really not been in that many scenes, basically all the characters are understandable and likable once you get to know them. So, yeah. Pixar movies are good. I guess that's what it's boiled down to. Good 8.5 out of 10. Pixar movies are good. If you want to see something like this, or if you have some kids. If you have kids, I would definitely recommend doing this for kids. It's a great movie for kids. If you just are a big fan of animation, this is definitely for you. It has some great animation, some fun characters, some nice scenes. If you're nostalgic for the early 2000s, I guess this is also for you. They have Tamagotchis and boy bands and flip phones, so check it out. But yeah, that's about it. So, before we close out, there are a few news items. So, I'm going to be having a new anime movie coming out soon. This Friday, I'm going to go see Jujutsu Kaisen Zero. So, look forward to a review for that next Tuesday. I'm hoping to have my Elden Ring review ready for this Friday. Please do not get upset if that also gets delayed again, because I have been trying to finish this for 3 weeks now, and it has been a battle. It's been a battle to finish that game, because I don't want to give a review until I've actually finished the game, and I didn't want to just rush through it, so I've been trying to do a lot of the side stuff as I can, look into secrets, look online for hints, that kind of stuff, because I really do want to experience this, because I really, really like this game. Fine, it goes without saying, it's from Software Game, I'm gonna love it. So, look forward to that. I'm also may not be doing the Batman movie anymore. I will see if I have time for it. I've heard decent things, but I saw the trailer for that Batman movie a year ago, and I just saw the angry Batman, punching, 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 and it was dark and broody. And I'm like, okay, good. It's another, super gritty remake of Batman. Whoopee. Look, I like The Dark Knight as much as the next person. It's a good movie. You don't need to always make Batman that Batman, okay? And even that Batman was more fun than this guy. Ugh. Anyway, that's about all for now. See you guys next time. Bye.
I hope you enjoyed listening to this episode, and thank you for listening to The Dragon's Library. Please, subscribe to this podcast to be notified of new episodes. The Dragon's Library releases new episodes Tuesday and Friday each week, and you can follow us on Twitter at dragon_library2. If you want to suggest an episode topic, my email is in the description below. And as always, thank you so much for all your support.